It's the Derek and Mike Podcast. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate you being here. You can connect with us online. All of our links to social stuff is on our website, derekandmike.com. My name is Mike. This is my boy, Derek.
What's up, Mike? What's up, everybody? So, Mike.
Yeah?
I've been hesitant to say this.
Oh, no.
Is that a good buildup?
Yeah, dude. I'm hanging on the edge here. Like, wow, this sounds like serious. We're usually not so serious.
Well, it's a serious topic.
I can tell. This sounds pretty intense. Should I sit down?
Well, yes. So, if what I say has any validity, and it hasn't been thought by anybody, which it very well could have been thought by somebody already.
All right, so this may or may not be an original thought. I'm with you.
It might not be. It could end humanity as we know it in a very short amount of time.
Oh, well, man, you made it sound like this was something like serious, but
yeah, maybe it's not that big of a deal.
All right, so I'll get to my example grocery list later, but let's talk about ending humanity first.
Okay. So the story goes is it used to be that like in the beginning of spring, mm-hmm. we would get like ants.
Mm.
But like they would be these little itty bitty ants, right? These little super tiny ants. And I think I probably brought this up a couple times, but you know how like ants, they really don't even know that you're there.
Yeah.
Until totally. You like agitate them or squash them or something. Then they're like, oh shit, I need to get the hell out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like they just can't see humans moving.
Sure.
Or something. You notice that?
We're beyond their visual space.
Yeah.
And, maybe our toe, but then they just walk around it. Yeah. It feels like they're pretty oblivious to our existence.
And, you know, and that kind of is, I could go on a big segue with that. And maybe I'll talk about it later, how we could be the same way to some other type of being because, you know, we just think that we're so advanced. But the point is that this year, this spring, we have ants that are not the little itty bitty ants anymore.
Hmm.
They're bigger ants. They're probably like, I don't know how big 10 centimeters is, but I'm going to guess 10 centimeters is coming to my mind.
Okay. Here. So they're still a little small, bit larger, but bigger than the other tiny little pinpoint spring ants that you're used to.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So bigger ants this year. Do you think that's because of global warming or some other catastrophe or something like that?
No.
Okay.
No, probably not. I don't know why. I don't know.
Okay.
But what I do know is that these kind of know that when we enter the room, that they might get killed.
Oh, okay.
I've never experienced this.
They run or scream. Oh no, he's coming right for us. Something like that.
Yeah, they just like, all of a sudden you'll be like around the counter and all of a sudden you just see him just kind of starting to scamper. Like, oh shit, I need to get out of here. I might get killed. Now the weird thing, when they first showed up and they first arrived, they had no idea that we existed. So they were like the little ones.
Hmm.
But over this amount of time, they've learned to actually kind of detect our presence and
wow.
They you know, and I do think that they're smart. Like I do think ants are smart and they're very communicable. Is that a right word? Like
yeah.
They talk to each other. I think they talk to each other. They probably even, you know, they're probably even on some kind of frequency where they all anyway.
Yeah, I think they do it by smell, right? So they kind of like that's how they work out like a whole line of ants that traverses some great distance from their home all the way to some Pepsi that you spilled. Is they kind of lay down like a trail of pheromones that all the other ants after them follow. And next thing you know, they're all going in a perfect line. But that line might go around some obstruction, like a leaf laying on the ground or a stair or something like that. And they all kind of follow that exact same line from their front door to the Pepsi and back.
Totally. Yeah. And now, but here's the weird thing. These ants don't really do that. It's like they're all scout ants. Hmm. Every one of them.
Okay.
It's like a scout ant.
So they're not community lemming ants. They're independent thinkers that are learning and growing.
Yes.
That's scary. Yeah. You're fucked, man.
So do you get where I'm going?
Yeah, no, this? Man. It sounds like Tennessee will be erased from the map soon enough by ant invasion. But so far we're good here. Our ants are still stupid and puny.
Yeah, you're definitely lucky. Now, if you could teach these ants, obviously these ants have some kind of learning capacity, but what if you could teach them more that humans exist and that humans are food?
Hmm. Are you working on teaching them this?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. But that is the worry, is that if somebody did teach them this,
okay,
if they did learn how to detect humans and then also learned, and this would take somebody nefarious to actually kind of teach them this, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? To actually teach them that humans exist and that you can eat them if you overwhelm them, mm-hmm. then we're done. Because do you know how many ants are on the planet?
I don't know. 1,000?
10 to the 15th ants.
Wow. I don't know what that means. Yes. That sounds like a lot.
I don't know. I don't
many,
know either.
How many
I,
ants per person do they estimate? And how would they ever estimate that?
Okay. That I don't know, but I will know in 1 second because okay. it's in the vestiges of my
brain. I haven't noticed
any
difference in the intellectual ability or the size or behavioral patterns or anything in our ants. So I think this is a Eastern phenomenon that is hopefully not spreading our way, but certainly going to take over where you live. You might want to move. Want to move back to California?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. All right. Leaving the door open. I gotcha. Okay.
Huh. Okay.
You know what we do have? Oh, okay, go ahead. How many ants per person?
Number of ants per person is 1,265,823 ants per person.
Wow. I would have guessed 1,265,122, but you know, it's just a guess, so that makes sense.
Yeah,
that is a little more accurate. Yeah, and how in God's name would you ever estimate that?
Yeah, well, they know the overall weight of the ants.
Okay.
Somehow, I don't know how they estimated that either, but it's about 30 million metric tons of ants.
Well, now with your new super genius bigger ants, that weight metric is changing because the quantity to weight ratio is being thrown off by their immensity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
so
terrified.
You might be right. It could be like as low as 126,000 ants per person.
Yeah.
I mean, either way, you can see how we could.
It's like that you know, prison thing where as soon as the inmates realize that they outnumber the guards, that's when they change tactic. They change mindset. They're like, you know what? Fuck this guy just coming into the kitchen in the middle of the night trying to get a cupcake. Let's take him out. Let's eat Derek.
Exactly. It's like as humanity's waking up, who knows? There could be ants waking up and say, mm-hmm. wait a minute, we're living in a prison planet where these people are harboring food, but these things, there are people out there and we can eat them.
Hmm. Yeah.
We'd be
See,
screwed.
Are we sweet enough for ants? Well, because like ants like prefer some spilt Pepsi, right? They're the lollipop that your kid drops on the concrete. They love that shit. But would they eat a human, you know? Like if there's a piece of roadkill, are there ants all over that roadkill? Or is that more of like a birds and flies and that kind of thing?
Okay, so you crapped all over my plan to destroy humanity.
Oh.
But that's okay.
All right. I'm sorry. I inadvertently blew your point. Still, it's terrifying. Giant, super smart ants. Yeah. You know, they've even made scary movies, I think, about that. You know, bee films.
Do they?
But
is there an ant movie? Is there like I know there's a raven movie, right? Like a crow movie?
Oh, yeah. There's lots of birds. Ask the internet, is there a horror film about ants taking over the planet? The answer has to be yes. You know what we get in California? Mosquitoes, and I'm sure you have mosquitoes too. I'm sure you probably even have gnarlier mosquitoes. But what we've seen as far as like this difference in species from year to year is these tiny little asshole ankle biter mosquitoes that now they don't limit themselves to only the nighttime. They're out during the day. And they're not super genius or anything. They're just super numerous. And they're really hard to get away from. They bite the shit out of you if you're just out on your patio having a few drinks with the neighbors kind of a thing. And those ants suck, like bad. And apparently they're kind of a new thing that's either mutated or migrated or something. But they're fucking everywhere. And summer is around the corner here in California, so we know those assholes will be back very soon.
Yeah, I remember those. I think they're called a tiger mosquito or something. And yeah, it's a trip, huh? Because it's like they're smart enough now not to buzz around your ear, you know, so you can hear them and smack them. But instead, you have no idea, and they're just tearing up your lower legs.
Yep, they go after your ankles and stuff like that. And they get you during the day, when that used to be safe time, when it was just kind of at night when they would run around or fly around. And now there's a whole lot of like daytime attacks.
Yeah.
It's vicious.
Yeah, that is quite, those were quite annoying. I remember, they were starting to get more and more, and at the Zen Center, they were doing everything they could to get rid of like little puddles of water here and there, but like people were just getting torn up by those. See, now I'm one of the lucky ones where mosquitoes, they will bite me, but they don't like me that much.
Yeah, no, my plan is to stick with my wife. Because
same here.
That's like you don't have to run. You don't have to outrun the bear. You just have to outrun the person you're with, kind of thing. So as long as I'm with her, she'll take 99% of the bug bites. And like you said, I might get bit once or twice, but for every bite I get, she gets at least 100. So our odds favor me for sure when we're out there in mosquito country.
Same here. Yeah, she just gets torn to pieces. And you know, so at first, like, I used to think like, oh, it's just in her head, you know, she's, are you really getting bit that much? You know, I just didn't really believe it, you know.
You're like, maybe I'm just so tough I don't notice it. But I've seen her legs when we're out hanging out together in the same place at the same for the same duration, and she literally seems like what has 100 bites on her lower legs, and I might have 2.
I'm with you. Yeah. We're lucky that way.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I wonder what that is. I wonder, maybe our skin is thicker. Maybe we have a lower heat profile.
Well, we probably just taste bad.
I don't know. Yeah, that's probably true. You know, we don't shower.
Yeah. Exactly. Showering's overrated. Deodorants for the birds. Yeah. Perfume. Yeah, nuts to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Forget
so that. My poor wife, she's clean and smells delicious. So she's attacked relentlessly. And I'm just, you know, sitting next to her, dirty, stinking, no one touches me. It works out pretty great. I like it. It's a good plan.
Yeah, we're just the pig pens.
They can't make it through the cloud of filth surrounding us.
Yeah, right.
They're like, we're trying to attack you, but your fortress of dirt is just impenetrable. Oh, man. Hey, I keep making a stupid mistake on my phone, and I wonder if you have this problem, because you have an iPhone, right? Are you an iPhone guy now, or are you still an Android guy?
Oh, do you have an iPhone?
I have both. So my work phone is an iPhone, but my personal phone is a Pixel, a Google phone. I prefer Google. I prefer Android. If I had just had my choice, I would only have the Android phone, but my work-issued phone is an iPhone, so I have to use it all the time. So I get to test both, which is kind of fun. And seeing which is better for which, because Apple makes an amazing product. I won't pretend they don't, but lots of things about it are frustrating. And one thing in particular that I know happens to me, I know it happens to other people, and I wonder why Apple hasn't fixed it, is the iPhone butt dial. So when you're talking to someone and you're ending the phone call and you're like, okay, cool, right on, I'll give you a call back later, take it easy, and I go to hit the red end button, my thumb moves slower than the other person and they hang up first. So my thumb's already in motion and it's too late to retreat. I'm already going down to touch the screen where the hang up button is. But now, since they hung up first, my screen changes and it immediately goes to my recent call list. And whichever random recent call happens to be where my thumb is already going to land because I was trying to hit the red hang up button, I press that recent call. And it doesn't even go into the details of that call. It just immediately calls that person back because it's in my recent call list. and it's totally random who it is. Usually it's a customer because it's my work phone. And as soon as you realize, oh no, it's calling that person, fuck, you hit end right away. So it doesn't even ring for half a second, but damage done. That call's already gone through to that person. They see the missed call and they inevitably call back and go, hey bro, did I miss a call from you? And I'm like, no, no, butt dial. And
yeah,
does that happen to you?
You know, I think it does. I have to say.
It has to. How does it not? If the other person hangs up before you're already going for the hang up button. And it's most often or very often too late to retreat. You can't stop your thumb. It's moving. It's happening. You're going to press something and it happens to be a random phone number in your recent call list.
Yeah. Come to think of it, I think that has happened. Now, I am always faster to the punch than my wife. So like my wife, like we'll say bye and she's who I talk to 95% of the time. So I'm always the one to hit it. Like, as a matter of fact, if I don't hang up, she won't hang up.
She just doesn't even bother anymore. She's like, she doesn't even bother. I got you.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So she's a non hanger upper.
Okay. I wonder if this ever happens to her then, or maybe she's just given up hanging up altogether. She just relies on you, her better half, to end the phone call for you both.
I think that's the case, yeah.
That's
because
smart.
I mean, well, I've seen it so many times where she's talking to somebody, and she either thinks she hung up because probably they hung up for her, and then she just moves on and talking. I'm just like, hey, did you hang up yet? Are you hung up on you?
Oh, so she hasn't just given up hanging up with you. She's given up hanging up the phone altogether.
Yes,
gotcha.
Yeah, it's a thing. If she gets off the phone, I'm probably 50% of the time saying, did you hang up? Yeah, because she never hangs up.
All right. Well, then you don't want that either, especially like when you end a call. You're like, okay, yeah, great, great. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you next week. And then you go, God, that guy's such an idiot. You know, like you start talking smack about the person you were just talking to. And then you go, did you hang up the phone? She's like, uh-oh, boop.
Yeah, exactly. And because a lot of times, what will happen is that she'll just get off the phone, just like you're saying. She'll say something like, oh, something about the call. I'm like, oh my God, did you hang up? Like, make sure you hung up, you know, because,
Oh man.
Yeah. That's the accurate scenario.
So that's a whole different risk, I guess. If you just give up on hanging up because of this stupid iPhone flaw, then you either A, you forget to hang up and you start talking shit about the person you were just talking to, and that's awkward. Or you have that weird awkward thing where neither of you hangs up, and the call is just left out there, and it's just, and you're sitting there and you're kind of like, are they going to hang up? And you hear the other person like rustling around, and then you got to kind of come back on the phone and, are you going to hang up the phone or what? You know, like one of those weird, who's going to end this thing kind of a conversation. That's awkward.
Yeah. I think I'm going to start doing that just to fuck with people.
Just not hang up.
Yeah. Just not hang
up. Dude, it happens to me all the time where I try to do this thing I have this thing happen to me where I go to hang up. Someone else beats me to it. My screen changes, recent call list. Boom. I hit some random recent call and that person gets a fucking butt dial for me. And then I was even thinking, you know what? My butt's getting a bum rap here because my butt did not accidentally call that person. This is an iPhone flaw. It shouldn't even be called a butt dial. It should be an iPhone dial. iPhone fucked you up. Sorry, dude. It's an iPhone thing. The way you blame autocorrect when you mistype something, whether or not it's actually autocorrect, it's always an understandable excuse for making a typo in text, is you can always go like, autocorrect, you know? Now, when you accidentally call someone and you didn't mean to, you shouldn't say butt dial. My butt is blameless. You should say, iPhone dial.
Well, also, it's, you know, because of the short amount of time that lapsed between you hung up and you called me back, it couldn't really possibly be a butt dial, right?
It
wouldn't register in my head like, oh, what do you mean butt dial? You stuck it. Well, I guess you could just stick it back in your back pocket.
Girls do that a lot because they wear jeans that are too tight to put a giant pocket computer in their front pocket. So they kind of do the thing where they stick it in their back pocket and it only goes in like half the way. So half the phone's still sticking out. I guess they could butt dial. But I don't think butt dialing's really a thing anymore. Most people have a screen lock and they've solved that problem. But iPhone hasn't solved their problem. They're still mistakenly causing people to mistakenly call people all the time, and everyone's butt is being blamed. It's a travesty. It's wrong. It's unjust.
Well, I'm going to make sure to hang up first anytime we talk. I'm going to get there fast.
Oh, you know what? When you and I talk, we talk on my phone, and Android doesn't have this problem, so it'll never happen. This is purely an Apple problem. This is a flaw in the Apple interface design stuff.
Well, that's frustrating.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I got to think of other ways to mess with everybody now. Or
you just continue being quick draw hang up guy, and I guarantee you're causing some random people to accidentally misdial someone else in their recent call list. If it's not happening to you, it's happening to the other guy. You just might have faster thumbs than most people.
I'm going to test that out.
That's your new nickname, yeah. Derek Quick Thumbs.
Quick Thumbs.
That'd be your gangster name. Hey, this is my boy, Derek Quick Thumbs. Ah, how'd you get that name? I hang up fast.
I'll just be like,
yeah.
Did you wiggle my thumbs?
Does he like cut off people's thumbs? Is he like really, you know, notorious for that? No, he just hangs up the phone quickly.
No, how funny would it be when you introduce me as that? I just stick my thumbs up and I'm just start wiggling them and just have a little creepy smile looking at them like I'm Quick Thumbs.
Oh, dude. See, I wish we could hang out more often because shit like that would be incredibly fun just to randomly meet people in line at the, I don't know, grocery store or whatever and just be like, oh, how you doing? My name's Mike. This is my buddy, Derek Quick Thumbs. And they'll be like, oh, why do they call you that? Just be like, call me what? What do you?
Yeah, as I wiggle my thumbs, just creepily smiling at him.
Smile mischievously and wiggle your thumbs. They're like, yeah, all right, I guess they're kind of quick. I don't really get it, though. Okay.
Well. Do you remember that one time we went to, where was that? Oh, it was Arizona that one time, Bullhead. And we went with Ron, and I remember Fingers was there, and we went to some little restaurant, and the waitress there, we were talking to her, and I was like, oh, nice watch. I said, it looks like table salad. And she was like, yeah. And then you all heard what I said, you know. And the whole table started busting up because you guys all knew I was kind of just fucking around with things with that don't make sense. Shit. And she was just like, yeah, it does, huh? And then you got, like, I think almost seriously? Everybody fell out of their seat on that one.
Oh, my God.
That reminds me of like how we fuck with people a little bit.
Yeah, you're the most random person ever. Like you'll just think of the weirdest, most random things. Yeah. And it's funny when people go along with it just not to be contrarian, like just not to screw up the flow of the conversation, when your whole goal is to screw up the flow, you know. And they're just like, yeah, it does look like table salad. And you're like, yeah. What? Of course it does not.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's funny.
Dude, Ron didn't remember that either.
Speaking of awkwardness, not really related, but in the awkward thing. This happened to me the other day, and I wanted to ask you if this ever happens to you. Probably not, because your daughter is so sweet. The thing where your kid says or does something rude or not okay to another person, and then you make your kid apologize to that person in front of them, but your kid doesn't want to apologize. So you have to keep saying, Johnny, apologize to Derek for saying that to him. No. Johnny, apologize to Derek for saying that to him. And you're standing there right there going, it's really okay. It's okay. Like, I'm not worried about it. But the parent is like entrenched now. They can't let it go because then it makes it okay. So you've got to force your kid to apologize to this adult who just feels awkward as shit that you're standing there scolding the kid for saying they're sorry to this person. Or tell the lady thank you. I don't want to. Tell the lady thank you. And the lady's like, no, it's really okay. Like, we're fine. The kid doesn't have to say thank you. No, you must say thank you, Johnny. You have to say thank you to this lady. Tell her thank you. Tell her thank you right now. Tell her thank you or we're going home right now. And it's a very awkward thing to be the person who's standing there to receive the unwanted thank you or apology from this poor kid who's being forced by his parent to do it. You ever had that?
Yeah, I've had it. And so she's never really said anything bad. She's just, she's pretty sweet.
God, your daughter is so sweet. This happens daily or hourly in our house.
Well, there have been times where I would say, like, Esme, say hi to such and such.
Yeah, that's
whatever.
A good example. Same thing. Yeah. And she just won't, shies away. Yeah, and then you're like, go say hi to Aunt so-and-so. Yeah.
And then the adult says, no, you don't have to make her do that. And then I really feel like a dick then. Because I'm like, oh, maybe I am being a dick.
Well, and then, but it's also awkward to let it go. Just like, okay, you know, don't say hi to Aunt so-and-so. But you're just, you know, and then you try to do it quietly, like, hey, go over there and say hi to Aunt so-and-so. Like, come on, she brought you a present. Like, go say hi. And it's just awkward for everybody, for you, for the person, for the kid. It's awkward all around.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think that that has hit me a little bit there.
Because I can see the shyness thing. I didn't think about that because we don't deal with that. Our kids are not shy at all. they're just much more likely to the thing lately
to say like, hey, that man has yellow teeth.
They would.
That guy's teeth are really yellow.
That's totally within the realm of possibility. They haven't done that yet. What they do right now is they hold on. Oh my God. They point out, they'll see someone walking down the street, and my younger boy right now, Benjamin, will go, he'll go, hey, an old man. He'll say it loud enough for the poor old man to hear. Or even worse, he'll be like, old lady. And it's like, oh, an older dear. Lady, you know? And I'm like, Benjamin, like, you can't say that. Don't say that to an old lady, you know? And he's like, but she's an old lady.
Or like, even worse, she's like 48 or something.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, it's bad enough if she's 90, but it's much worse if she's like 48 and still trying to like be cool. And this little three-year-old walks by and goes, hi, old lady. Like, that totally happens, dude.
Ooh, yeah.
Totally happens. No, or sometimes they're just punks on purpose. Sometimes that's inadvertent because they're learning it, like in my 5-year-old is learning in school the difference between stuff. And I saw in a worksheet or whatever where it was kind of like young man, old man, and kind of like identifying different opposites. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I mean, he's just learning to identify the world, but it's like maybe not yell it out at the, you know, the nice lady working at the restaurant. Just don't scream old lady. That would be cool.
Well, see, at least you have the couth to kind of direct them and say like, oh, well, that was not appropriate, or, you know, and you're a little bit embarrassed too because,
oh God, yeah,
I worked retail for a lot of years, you know, and you would be shocked at some of the complete assholes that don't give a crap at all that their kids say stuff like that. Like the yellow teeth. Like I had that. That was something that a kid told me.
Really?
One time. Mommy, why are his teeth yellow? And I'm just like, like, this is awkward. And of course I feel, you know, I was pretty taken aback by that, you know, because that kids was the last thing I thought that was going to be pointed out. And, you know, and I mean, there's no denying that my teeth were yellow, you know, because it's...
Well, if a kid said it, it's definitely true. They don't make that stuff up, but they certainly will just yell it out if they see it. They're just, oh, dude. My older boy went through a phase where he pointed out when people were bald. He'd be like, Dad, he's bald. And I'm like, shut up, man. Yeah, he's bald, but we don't yell that at people.
Yeah, that one lady. So when that happened, you know, I expected something, you know, and nothing. She was just like, oh, well.
Hmm.
And I'm like, okay. And then there was another time too where, and this was actually just, there are some just bad people out there, you know? And I worked at Taco Bell. Of course I was 17, but anytime you work fast food, just everybody treats you like shit, dude.
Yeah.
And like this one guy came up and it was with his daughter and his son, and they had to be probably 13 or 14. And he talked to me like shit. And then they jumped in and talking to me like shit. Just like it was kind of even like making fun of me for working there. And here I'm a 17-year-old kid or something. Wow. You know what I mean? Like, come on, dude. I'm like, where's a kid supposed to start? You know, or it was just, I just couldn't believe, I mean, even to the fact that it sticks with me to this day, kind of, you know what I mean? It's like,
so that's like doubly sad. Like it sucks that asshole adult was leading the way and being a petty jerk for no reason to a teenager working in fast food. What a small bitch he is. And then the sad part of showing his kids that kind of behavior, which makes it okay to them, modeling that behavior for them, because then they start doing the same thing. And that sucks for them too, that they're stuck with that shitty model of a man. Because then that's crippling for them. It's kind of the same thing as like kids who have racist parents, right? And then the parents teach them ideas and totally horrible things about racism and those sorts of things. And then the kids just kind of believe that's the way to go, or they model it because that's the way daddy talks and that sort of thing. And it's sad for those kids that they're crippled by that kind of immaturity or stupidity or just fucking assholeness.
Yeah, no, well said. Yeah, because like, could you imagine being that person that's just a fucking asshole to everybody? And imagine what your life is like when you're like that, because nobody's happy if you're a jerk to everybody.
Right.
Like, you're going to get it back at some point. And you're going to feel bad dishing it out too. Like there's no winning of that situation. And yeah, you're right. Like they know no different. And
yeah, they don't know any different. To them, their dad is the model of how a man should act. As they get older, they'll start seeing the way other people act and hopefully realize that, oh, my dad's kind of a bigot or my dad's just kind of an ass. But then even the person who is being an asshole or a bigot or whatever, you almost pity them too. Because you know that inside there's like, it's all seated in some insecurity or inadequacy or fear or some sort of thing inside them is causing them to act that way. It doesn't excuse it, but it's just kind of like, oh, you know, you're deep down just a huge puss and that sucks for you. Stop being an asshole to everybody. But, you know, I feel bad for you that you feel like you have to walk around and do all this. And it, I feel even worse for your kids that they have to watch you walk around life like that.
Totally. And you know, the one place where it just comes out is in fast food. Like people are just, you see the real people, I think, a lot of times when you work fast food, because you're just as good of a person as how you treat the little people. Like, literally like that to me, that reflects your personality and your, I don't know how good of a person you are. And you just see people just dish on fast food people.
Do you think that used to be the case versus now, or is it still the case? I feel like, and maybe it's just cause I'm in a different place in my life, but it feels like, yeah, those kind of younger people in quote unquote peon jobs were looked down upon a little more than now. It feels like maybe there's a larger sympathy or respect level or just kind of, you know, acceptance of people in all walks of life these days, or maybe I'm just blowing smoke.
I hope so, but I'll tell you what though, I don't know. I mean, it was just back when I worked there, it was just so ingrained in everybody. And, it was hard for me because I was like a really shy kid and I was absolutely not a people person to begin with. But then when everybody was just being an asshole to me all the time, like it just made me close up even more and be like, fuck the world.
Yeah.
You know, and fuck everybody that's just treating me like shit.
It's kind of sad, but very real how even the comment of a little tiny kid, which you know should just roll right off your back, but a lot of times they don't, and it really makes its way into your psyche. Like you said, even now you're remembering it now as a grown adult, and it's sad and interesting how those sorts of things can really stick with you and affect you. Like the yellow tooth thing, I bet you bleached your teeth after that. You know, like those sorts of things. You're just like, oh, yeah, it's just a kid and fuck that kid. And who cares what a kid says? But still, now it's in my head, you know? And I mean, I can relate to that. I can't think of a specific thing right now, but I remember you hear those certain little things or overhear someone saying something or, you know, whatever, maybe not even directed directly at you, but it just kind of makes you self-conscious for one thing or another. And that shit's like powerful and it sucks.
It is. And man, and it goes both ways too, because I can think back on saying things like when I was drunk, probably, you know, and didn't want the person to hear, but I was so drunk, I just didn't. And I would say something in front and I'm like, oh man. And to this day, when I think back at those situations where I said something that I know was hurtful, I mean, it hurts too, just like,
oh yeah,
recalling those memories, you know what I mean? It's almost like there's no winners and being an asshole to somebody. You lose immediately. They lose. They get their feelings hurt. You might be a dumb drunk ass and don't realize it at the time. But for years on after that, thinking back, when anytime that memory comes up in your head, you're like, oh, you know, and it kind of gives you like a feeling of disgust for yourself, you know, and it makes me think like, oh, I'm such an asshole. You know, I don't want to be an asshole.
Yeah.
I am an asshole to my friends because I love them, but
well, yeah, but that comes from a place of love. Like I make fun of you because I love you, and that's different than like truly making fun of someone. Like, dude, you're not the kind of asshole that's really going to make fun of someone for something you know that they're struggling with or self-conscious of. You know, if someone's, I don't know, whatever an example of, if something's like a real insecurity for someone you know and care about, you're not the kind of guy to make fun of that. But, you know, you'll make fun of all kinds of other stuff just for the fun of it. And that's just pure fun. And there's a very, it's hard to define that difference, but it's a huge difference. And it's, I think mostly in guys too. Like, I don't really see girls doing that. Calling each other names a whole lot or, you know, making or fun
telling,
of each other.
Telling them to come on in your dad's house, even though he didn't. Sorry, yeah. Just popped the microphone.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, when you get to my dad's house, just walk on in. I'm like, I'm not walking into your dad's house. Come out and get me.
But you did. And then when you did, I was like, oh, Dad, it's just Mike. Mike just walked right in. He just felt like waltzing into your house,
You enjoyed it so much, and your dad enjoyed it so much. Both of you sadistic bastards are sitting there just like, oh, what the fuck, Mike? You just walk into our house like you own the place? Yeah, and I'm like, I tried to text Daryl. Oh, fuck you.
I love it because you just feel so uncomfortable from there, just from the years of being a kid. You know, when you're there, just all, you're like, every time you're in the house, you're like, am I doing something wrong?
Uh-huh.
Am I, you know, do they know what I'm doing now?
Yeah, I'm a grown man, and I'm visiting you at your dad's house, and I even have those thoughts like, yeah, is it okay that I'm bringing beer with me? Like, is this okay? Yeah. Is Dark's dad gonna get mad at me?
Yeah, that's
hilarious. It's funny how that never really goes away.
Mm-hmm.
Man, hey, I was dealing with password issues today, and I was thinking if I talk to Derek, I want to ask him what he does, because I'm considering one of those like password services where you pay a subscription and you only have one password, but that service like creates secure passwords for you. I was wondering, do you use a convention and something different for every website or account, or do you use like one of those password pay services? King nerd that you are.
Yeah, no, I mean, so I do have certain passwords that are different for different things. And yes, I do have like, my bank accounts with different passwords.
Okay. What's one of your bank account passwords? Hold on, let me get a pen.
Yeah, it's da 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 da.
No, so you use conventions then? You do set, you personally set different passwords for each account yourself?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I do have a password generator. It's called KeePass, KEEPASS.
Okay. And so does that just create secure passwords for you, or does that manage entering those passwords for you?
No, it doesn't manage entering them. So you would have to enter it like one time, you know, and you're using Chrome or whatever.
Oh, yeah. And browser, then it remembers it in your browser or cookies or whatever.
Yeah, that's kind of what I got going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. But then you have to store those somewhere, right? Because if you ever get a new computer or try to sign in on a new device, it wants you to enter your password. And then you got to go back and find that secure password somewhere. Like, does Key store all of your past passwords?
It does.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it stores all the passwords,
all right,
too.
So that's an idea. So I don't know. I'm just tired of having... So I use a convention. It's got the same beginning and the same end, and the middle part is pretty simple related to the website that I'm on. But that's getting harder and harder because now everything wants a minimum number of characters and a special character. And that part fucks up my convention. And it's getting to where like a lot of times I have to go back and reset it and figure it out because I don't remember it. And my convention system isn't working for it anymore. It has to be too complex. So then I was kind of thinking about like, all right, maybe I need to get one of these password services. And I was wondering if you used one or what you're doing.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I have a couple conventions. I have like a name or two that I always end up repeating, or I have like a sequence of special characters that I end up doing. But, you know how it is though. And then sometimes you just forget what the hell you put in there.
Uh-huh.
And then it has to text you something. And then, you know, that.
Yeah. The password thing we live with today is a frustrating bullshit reality. Like, I get the security, but I don't know. And then I'm too cheap to subscribe to a password service. You know, even if it's $39 a year or whatever, I don't know what they cost. I'm sure they cost more than I'm willing to pay, but the less than I would think. I'm just too cheap to pay for a service like that.
Yeah, I mean, KeePass is free. You can download it for free. Yeah. It's like open source, I think. It's not bad. I have a lot of things in there.
Nice. All right.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll look at Key Pass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of gets annoying. So
yeah, I agree.
Are you gardening yet? Have you planted yet, or is it still too cold in Tennessee?
It looks like it's going to be okay. Well, no, there's going to be, I think on Monday, it's going to get down to 43
okay.
or something, 44 at night. So
it's kind of the same temperatures we've been having, dude. We've been down in like the 40s most mornings lately. And then it warms up into almost 80. We're having these wild 30, 40 degree swings between night and day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we've been pretty solid at like 55. And then in the daytime, it'll be upwards of 80.
Well, if you're not getting freezing, then you're ready to plant, right? Because that's the only reason you wouldn't want to plant in the winter or spring is if you're still getting like below freezing nights.
Well, I have tomatoes. Like tomatoes, I think, are a little bit sensitive to cold air. So like if it gets down to like 40, I want to say like under 45,
okay,
they're definitely not going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when it's solidly over 50 at nighttime, then I should be good to plant those. But right now I have them all in pots and I have them outside of the greenhouse because I want them to get rain and have wind blow on them so they strengthen. But I do have my greenhouse still up. So I think hopefully after Monday, I might put them out there. It's a little bit early.
Okay.
Because the time before that, I had it. I think I planted them on 5/9 last year. So, but I started them way earlier this year too. So I'm hoping to get some tomatoes in June. Yeah.
Nice. All right.
And I got shishito peppers.
I'm looking forward to seeing your garden this summer.
Yeah. Yeah, I am too. I'm looking forward to seeing that too.
It's going
to
be fun.
Now,
you're turning like 85 and having a birthday
party.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm turning 60.
Okay. So Derek will be 60 and having a.
you're gonna let that one ride, dude.
So the fact that you're older than us is very fun. You're only a few years older, but it just sounds so much better when you're turning 50 and we're still in our 40s. And
yeah,
I was telling Ron, we were talking about our plans to go out there and come out there for your birthday party. And Ron asked, so is Derek's birthday the week before or the week after we're going up there? And I went, no, I made sure to check. It's the week before. So by the time we get out there, he will be entirely 50. Like there's no, oh, I'll be 50 next week and I'm still 49. There's none of that. Like you will be fully 50. And not only in our local time zones, but you'll be fully 50 in all hemispheres and all time zones. So you can't be like, yeah, so I'm 50 in America, but you know, not in Pakistan yet. It's still, I won't be 50 till tomorrow. Like you'll be 50 everywhere. So,
well, just I think I'm probably mostly going to be inebriated.
Oh, okay.
I think so.
All right. So yeah, counting to 50 will be difficult, but being 50 will be inevitable.
Yes.
All right. Okay. All right. And then we all get to complain about how hungover we are because we're super old now. And, I'm sure we'll be ruined for days after your bash.
Well, you take a lot of NAC, you'll be okay. You won't bottom out.
Nah, honestly, I don't have much tolerance anymore. I don't drink a lot anymore. I'm pretty lame, so I don't party a lot. So going out and hitting it hard with my boy Derek is probably going to hit me pretty hard.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Remember last time I came out and saw you in LA when I was all doing keto? I was a huge puss, and I got all sick and threw up and stuff.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, remember?
I don't remember you throwing up.
I did. Though. We shotgun beers in your driveway.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah. Oh, right.
I ralphed. Yeah. And it was a fun time, though. I still had a good time.
No, the funniest thing to me was we were saying bye to you guys, and you're like, you were acting like we were the ones driving home, and you're like, all right, bye, guys. Have a good trip home. We're like, we're not going anywhere, Mike.
Like, we're at home, dude.
Megan was rolling on that, man. That was funny as hell. You don't smoke weed, and you barely smoked, and you're just like,
it's been a really long time. And then I get together with you, and then I feel like, oh, I'm still the old Mike. Let's party. And no, I'm not. I'm not the old Mike anymore.
I won't razz you though.
I'm not the old Mike.
Yeah, right. I won't razz you though. If you only have a couple of those Topo Chicos, I'm not going to call you a puss.
No, we are partying and I might throw up. It'll just be what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm excited to come see your Plan B property.
My plan. I was thought you were gonna say Plan B. Yeah.
I can't wait.
No, I can't wait either.
It's gonna be rad.
I think it's.
Oh, you know what we were talking about? Do you guys have like chiggers and ticks and all that kind of weird southern bug shit in the summers?
Yes.
Well, what the
As
fuck,
a matter
dude?
Of fact, we do.
Okay. Well, yeah. I don't want any of that. Well, what am I supposed to do there? Like wear pants? It's going to be 150 degrees with 200% humidity.
Well, you'll get chiggers if there's tall grass.
Okay.
So I'm going to cut the grass so you won't have to worry about it.
So they'll be all recently displaced looking for a place to embed themselves because you just cut down their tall grass home.
Uh-huh.
Is that what we're working with now? A bunch of angry, displaced, homeless chiggers?
Well, you know, chiggers, they suck. They do suck.
Yeah.
And you'll get them on you. But what happens now, the thing that used to frighten me about them is I would not cut my grass up there. Mm-hmm. And the first year I didn't get them at all because the grass was already cut when I got the place. Last year I didn't have a lawnmower up there. So it was just fucking free for all. Mm-hmm. So I'd be walking around up there and then I get home and I'm like, oh shit, I'm so itchy. And it's like on my inner thighs. And I'm thinking like that I still have chiggers on me, you know, mm-hmm. like they're like crawling over me and like they're in my bed, but they're not.
Yuck.
They climb up you, they bite you once and then they bail.
Hmm.
So,
okay.
Yeah, they're still gross. It still itches. It still sucks.
I don't love the part where they bite me. That part's still, that's still the part I want to avoid.
You won't feel it until the next day.
Oh, great. Okay. All right.
So just when you're on the plane, you're going to be scratching your balls. It'll look like you're scratching your balls.
They're like, does that guy have the clap? No, chiggers. Thanks, though.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Wow.
But yeah, that's funny you brought that up. I didn't think that you would bring that up.
Yeah.
Because, I was thinking about it. I'm like, well, I'm going to cut the grass, so you're going to be fine. You'll be fine. It's they like tall grass. They get up on the tall grass. That's what they do.
They call it questing. So at least with ticks, I think chiggers are similar, but so ticks go on things which is very cool. They call it questing. So they go out and they quest out to the tallest piece of grass they can find. And they basically just stand at the tip of the piece of grass as high up as they can and they stick their little claws up in the air and they just wait for like a dog to walk by or a person to walk by or a rabbit to walk by or something. And they're hoping to just kind of catch on to some passerby's hair. So that's why they kind of stand out on this long piece of grass or whatever with their arms out in the air, just waiting for something to pass by. So they're on a quest to attach themselves to some host and embed their head in them, fucking dicks. But yeah, it's a little epic the way they call it questing.
Yeah, that's that gives me an image that I never thought before. Do they fall? I always thought they like fell out of the trees and they like had a heat. They could see your heat signature or something. They're like, all right, Geronimo.
I don't think they're that planned. I think they just kind of position themselves out on a bush or a long piece of grass and they just kind of stick their hands up in the air. Google it real quick. Tick questing. And
okay.
That's just kind of the way I envisioned it, is that they're just up there sticking their little tick claws up in the air waiting for someone to walk by and grab onto. So I think they're more hitchhikers versus airborne assault troops.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, what was it? It was like a month ago or maybe a month and a half ago. I was out at the cabin and I decided to kind of walk around the property and kind of walk through the places where humans don't go very often. Mm-hmm. And I walked all the way around and I did a little trek. And when I got back, I pulled my phone out of my back pocket.
Yeah.
I had my phone in my back pocket. Right on my phone was a tick.
Ooh.
And I was like, holy shit. Like there's a tick on my phone.
Wow.
So then the next thought was,
what was on your phone? Like a picture of a dog or something?
Yeah.
He's like, man, this dog is flat and hard. What the fuck?
Something about it he liked. It was hot. I know that. So maybe it was that's why I thought
so
like
this thing
it was
has to be full of juicy, delicious blood. What's going on here?
Yeah, I think it was like, I thought it was looking for the heat signature. But my next thought when I was like, there's a fucking tick on my phone, like was, shit, I probably have about 100 ticks on my body right now. Mm-hmm. You know, that was my next thought was like, oh, fuck. So I stripped down. I know you didn't need to visually see that, but you would too.
Yeah.
You know, and I looked through every little morsel of my clothes, kind of butt naked.
Fuck that, dude.
You know, I made sure everything was fine. And then I came home, I ripped off my clothes, I threw it in the washer, I put it on sanitized, I took a shower, jumped out, and I felt much better.
Yeah. Ticks are gross. We had this one thing with our little terrier, Poncho. You remember Poncho and Peanut? We had him forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Poncho was kind of a bushwhacker. He would go out diving into bushes, looking for lizards or whatever. He was always out there just rustling through the leaves and bushes. And at some point, picked up a tick. But he was laying like on, I think, my wife's lap, and she's petting him, and she noticed like a little bump on him, a tiny little bump that was like, oh no, Mike, check this out. And she's kind of looking at it and showing me. She separates his hair so you can kind of see his super white skin under his hair, and you can kind of see like, oh yeah, there's a little black bump there. I wonder what that is. And then the next day and the next day, it gets bigger and bigger. And then she kind of shows me sitting on the couch. She pulls his hair and she's like, look at this thing, Mike, this bump is getting bigger on Poncho. I think we need to take him into the vet to go take a look at it. And I'm like sitting down, I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at it really close, and I'm like, that fucking bump has legs. Oh, goddamn, dude. And I just fucking recoiled, and we're like touching it, dude, like rubbing it as you would rub like a bump on your skin, like kind of feeling it. Like, yeah, it's kind of hard, you know? And like, oh, what is that? And it was a tick butt sticking out of his body, and it got bigger and bigger because it was there for days, and he was just gorging himself on Poncho's blood. And eventually he got big enough to where I looked close and I could see its fucking legs on it. I'm just like, oh, God damn it, dude. That's fucking disgusting.
Did Sarah scream?
Oh my God, dude. Like, yeah.
Yeah, Megan would have screamed.
She would have cut her arms off if she could afford it. Like, dude, she was just like, I don't want to be alive. I just touched it.
I'm imagining her throwing her hands above her head and running.
Oh, dude. It was, dude, when I told her, I go, it has legs. It's a fucking tick. She just, it was just blood curdling. I think she blacked out. It was as revolting as you can imagine, dude. I was grossed out too, because we're sitting there touching it, like not even just barely touching it, but kind of like caressing it, like rubbing, like what you would do a bump to try to figure out what it is based on the texture or the feeling of the lump. So we touched that tick way too much, dude. It's so,
you're feeling safe,
so
but
gross.
Inquisitive at the same time. Positioning: ticks climb onto the tips of grasses, shrubs, or other vegetation, like you said. They typically choose vegetation that is approximately 18 to 24 inches off the ground. Did not know that. Mm. Now that I know that, my game plan is going to change and walk in.
Yeah, cut that shit down to like 4 inches.
Mm-hmm. Perching. Once in position, ticks hold onto the leaves or twigs with their third and fourth pairs of legs. You're right. Mm-hmm. While extending their first pair of legs outward. This posture is characteristic of questing and is meant to facilitate grabbing onto a host.
There you go. I nailed it, didn't I? Wow.
You did.
What weird, useless information I carry around. I lug around in my information-laden head.
And the vestiges of your brain.
Vestiges of my brain.
Ticks can detect animals to feed on by sensing body heat, odors, vibrations, and even shadows.
You're right. Okay. Mm. But if they're just hanging out on the tip of a blade of grass with their arms out in the air, are they really targeting anything, or are they just kind of waiting? Kind of a lazy quest. I'm just going to hang out here and wait for someone to walk by and snag me. Like, I don't know if that's so much of a quest as a...
They're basically hunting.
Yeah, kind of.
You know, they're just sitting there. They're probably bored out of their minds.
It's kind of like trawling. So it's like, yeah, you're fishing, but really you're just driving around in a boat, pulling bait behind you, waiting for something else to catch it. You're not really out actively casting at the fish or tracking the game and hunting it. You're just kind of...
Well, hunters do. They sit in like those...
That's true. Yeah, it's a lot like lazy hunting, where you can just kind of like, you know, hide out in a duck blind or up in a tree perch or like a, you know, when you're hunting deer and you go up in one of those like tree... things. I don't know what you call it, where you're sitting up in a tree waiting for a deer.
Yeah, or they have those little one-man tent things. Little one-man igloos that you're just head sticking out. Yeah. You know?
It doesn't look fun
to me.
Like
a real creep. Yeah, it looks like you just kind of look creepy, to me.
I'm not a hunter, and I love hiking, so that part of hunting sounds fun, being in the great outdoors, out hiking around, you know, that sort of thing. The killing animal part I'm not into. But the part like the duck hunting thing where you're just kind of hiding out in a muddy duck blind for a long time waiting for duck, like to me, that's not my thing. That doesn't sound fun to me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
No. Some people would really enjoy it. Like if Rick Finger was on here, I'm sure he would rebut that comment profusely, but I don't know. It's not for me.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I don't even like duck. Do you like duck? Do you eat duck?
I've never had duck.
You've never tried it?
No, I did have. No, I actually did try duck. Yeah, one time.
It's like big at.
I don't like it.
You know, Chinese food, like really nice Chinese food restaurants or those sorts of things. They cook like Peking duck and stuff like that. It's very expensive and great and all that. And I'm not super into it. It's too gamey for me.
There's no white meat. You know, I'm used to looking for the white meat on everything.
Yeah.
You know, so the lack of white meat is just kind of like.
I'm not a big dark. Even on chicken, I don't really like the dark meat. I don't really like the thigh and leg and all that kind of stuff. I like the chicken breast. I like the white meat.
You lost me there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I did. Yeah. I mean, I'll take a big bite of the breast.
Okay. And if she screams, I'll stop.
While I was saying that, I was thinking about that recording that you always do at the end. Oh, and I was like, I'll just stop right there.
Never come back to bite you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's, the dark meat is...
But a thigh, though. A thigh is good.
They're good. They really are. To me... There's just less meat on a chicken thigh, so it's like you're putting in a whole lot more work for less food. Whereas a breast is like a giant piece of meat, you know? You can just sit and cut into a breast it's more meat. I like the leaner meat anyway. But then I'm also the other side of the spectrum where I love a ribeye, like the fattiest piece of steak you can get. So I don't know. I have no consistency. I'm just not a dark meat guy. A dark poultry meat, no. Red meat, steak, yeah.
Yeah.
Venison can be pretty good. Do you like venison? You ever had it? Deer?
I don't think I've had venison. Venison is deer? Yeah. Isn't venison deer? No, I've never had it.
It can be kind of dry, but if you make it, Chris's dad used to hunt a lot, and he would come back after getting a deer, and he would make it into like ground venison, like making burgers and stuff, and... For whatever reason, I don't know if you mixed it with something or whatever, but it came out like super juicy and super good. That's a good one. Yeah.
No, I've had elk.
Okay.
And I've had bison, I think. Yeah.
Bison. Yeah, they have that some places, like bison burgers and stuff. That's super lean too. It feels kind of dry a lot of times.
Yeah, one of them I liked way more than the other one. They were both pretty good. But yeah, one of them was a little gamier. I'm going to guess it was probably the elk, you know? I don't know. Maybe it was the bison. I can't remember. One of them was absolutely delicious, I got to say.
Bison.
I can't remember which one.
But then I think when you order bison at a restaurant, they feel obligated to make the portion humongous because when you order a bison burger, you think of this gigantic meat patty. When you really don't need that, you just want like a regular meat patty, you know, you don't need a meat patty that's an inch thick. So I feel like you overdo it. They overdo it a lot of times when they're sizing up the bison patties, but it's not something you see every day on a menu.
Yeah. We went to a restaurant one time in Colorado for a work thing and everybody wanted to go to this one place that served like every kind of meat. Under the sun, like rattlesnake and Rocky Mountain oysters.
Oh, okay.
And just everything.
Yuck.
Yeah.
What'd you eat? Balls?
Rocky Mountain oysters.
Nice. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. When in Rome, eat balls.
When in Rome, eat testicles. Okay. I've never had them. You know, I know they exist. I know they're a thing, but yeah.
You would never eat them, would you?
I'm not. I'm down for whatever. Like, I mean, you know, you're in a restaurant and that's what they're serving. I'd be like, oh, really? That's what we're doing? Like, you'd have to twist my arm a little bit, but I don't think I'd choose to order them. But if they were out there and I'd be like, you know what? Fuck it. Give me a couple beers. I'll eat a nut.
Well, here's the thing. They look like onion rings. Yeah. I like that one better.
But I'm in charge of what soundbite goes in. So sorry.
Damn it.
Did I ever tell you the story of the sushi bar eating omakase at a sushi bar and what we ate there? I don't know if I did. I guess yeah, I should tell you just even
I
if
think,
I have.
I think so.
So like yeah, we were I eating so, omakase where the sushi chef is giving you all sorts of different pieces of sushi. And they're telling you about it. And they give you like, oh, hey, here's three different types of tuna. And this is this cut. And this is this cut of the fish. And they kind of, it's a very cool experience. Omakase is a fun way to eat sushi. It's kind of expensive, but it's a good time. And I was with a customer and we were eating omakase sushi. And the guy gave us something, and I wish I could remember what the I wish I could remember what it was called. But essentially, it was like this kind of spread on top of a bite, and we ate it. And I was kind of like, "Oh, okay, all right, what's that?" And the sushi chef, his English wasn't great, but I could tell he was tap dancing around the description, where he was kind of like, "It's like you know, like seed or reproductive kind of thing." And
shark
he was
semen.
Saying these words and I'm like, are you saying that it's cum? And he started laughing. And he's like, yeah, it's fish cum. And I'm like,
oh, dude.
And I got all serious. Like, and I'm trying to think of like, what am I going to say in my head? And I got all serious and I looked at him. I'm like, are you trying to tell me I'm gay now? And he just lost his shit. He started laughing and my customer was laughing and all that. It was pretty funny. But yeah.
Oh, this was recent.
This was, it was fairly recently. I think it was like a year, maybe 2 years ago. I was out with a customer doing that. And it was kind of funny because it was just like, really, dude, you're just out here serving, you know, fish semen. And, you know, like that's weird. It's weird that.
Yeah.
Who wants.
He's back there.
Who's ordering
yeah,
that?
He's back to. He's like, look, they're eating it. Look,
that's probably what it was. They're dude. Actually eating that's it. Probably they're what a couple gringos over here ordering omakase, like they know what they're doing. Just like, here you go, dude. Here's some special something from the VIP box. Like,
here's some hotakaraba.
Like, oh, that sounds
like what? Oh, it sounds
that
great.
Sounds exotic. I'll take that, please. Yes, thank you. Yeah. I'll tell all my friends spread that I've had it, and I'll look very distinguished and worldly. Yeah. Like, nah, you're just eating fish sperm.
You caught him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, on that appetizing note, I guess we should call it an episode. I'm going to go brush my teeth.
I am too.
Oh, dude. I was thinking, like, what am I going to do at Derek's house when there's chiggers running around? Am I just going to wear pants in the fucking middle of August, like when it's 110 degrees and super humid? I don't know.
You need the full experience. Just
all
do
right.
it.
All right. Is being bitten by fucking, what are they called? I'm blanking on the word.
I don't know. Ants, the big ants?
No. Not like the name of the bugs. Anyway, I lost it.
Can't see them.
Well, like if someone, if the person being bitten is the host, oh, a parasite. That's what I was going for. So yeah, I mean, if being bitten by a parasite is part of the experience, then I guess I should be game. I mean, I'll eat fish sperm, so why not?
Yeah.
All right. Well, there we go. All right, Derek. I'm glad we were able to connect today, man.
All right,
buddy. It's fun talking with you.
Same here, man. So, I just let you hang out there.
You did. What a dick.
Oh, that was funny.
Oh, man. Yikes. Okay, now, who's going to hang up? Are you going to hang up or am I going to hang up?
I'm just always making decisions.
All right,
on
so
how
we're going to hang up on the count of three.
You
ready?
So,
one, two, three. Did you hang up?
Bye.
Did you hang up yet?
I did. Oh,
okay. All right, now, one, two, three. We're like touching it, dude, like rubbing it as you would rub like a bump on your skin, like kind of feeling it, like, yeah, it's kind of hard, you know, and like, oh, what is that? And it was a tick butt sticking out of his body. Hey, this is Mike. Thanks so much for joining us. We really, really do appreciate you. And we hope you're enjoying the show. Derek and I sure have a ton of fun doing it for you. If you'd like to support the show, that would be great. You could follow or subscribe to the podcast in your favorite podcast app. Also, if you want to like the show or leave a good review, that would be cool. Let us know we're doing a good job. We'd appreciate it. In most podcast apps, you can also click the little bell icon thing, and that means you'll get a notification on your phone every time we put out a new episode. So that's kind of cool. Also, if you want to reach out and say what's up, we'd love to hear from you. You can hit us up on Twitter at Derek and Mike Pod. We're also on Instagram as Derek and Mike, or you can go to our website, derekandmike.com. And if you want to go super old school and antisocial, you could even shoot us an email, info@derekandmike.com. Thanks again for listening. We really, really do appreciate you, and we look forward to talking to you again next time.